Now feast your ears on this. If you were to stick a microphone into the water in some parts of the Indian and Pacific Oceans, alongside the snapping sounds of prawns, you might hear some munching and squeaking noises. The animals responsible are dugongs. These are also known as sea cows, and these are marine mammals. They weigh in at over a quarter of a ton, and like their land-dwelling counterparts, they also eat grass. In this case, though, it's seagrass. And dugongs are a very useful indicator of the health of their local marine habitat. Amanda Hodgson at Murdoch University in Perth, Western Australia, has just won a $250,000 Google Impact Challenge Award for her work. She's using drones and artificial intelligence to count dugongs all over the world. And she told Chris why this matters.
Dugongs feed exclusively on seagrass, and they actually occur throughout the whole Indo-Pacific. But unfortunately, they're vulnerable to extinction, largely because their seagrass habitat is disappearing. And that's something that we should all be very concerned about, because we all need seagrass. Seagrass feeds 3 billion people and also is extremely good at storing carbon. Probably people don't realise just how vital seagrass is, because it plays a part in a lot of species' life cycle. So even things like prawns, which a lot of us love to eat, seagrass is essential. So without seagrass, we wouldn't have prawns.
So we could try really hard to save dugongs, but if we don't save the seagrass, then we've got no dugongs anyway.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so really our idea is basically to be getting people's attention on dugongs, because dugongs are an excellent barometer for seagrass health. So if you don't have seagrass, you don't have dugongs. So you know if the dugongs have disappeared, you should start worrying about the seagrass.
So how are you approaching this? I mean, how are you going to tackle a problem that's not just one little geography? This is a worldwide problem.
Yeah, it's really difficult, because the best way for us to monitor dugongs is to do aerial surveys. And that traditionally has meant putting a team of 5 people in a very small plane, flying very low and very slow over hundreds of kilometres. Quite risky for that team and very expensive, and it requires significant expertise. And all of those things don't occur in most of the countries where dugongs occur. So to overcome that problem, we have been developing methods for using drones instead of planes to do the surveys. So just basically using drones to take aerial photography of the ocean and then counting the dugongs in the images.
Have drones got the range though? How big are these drones?
So I originally have trialled some pretty high-end drones, the same drones that the military uses, and they work very well. They have the range and the endurance, but they're not within the research budget of most people. So really, large-scale surveys, we really need some new cheap drones to be developed that can have the same capabilities. But we're also developing methods to do more small-scale surveys. And in a lot of areas, actually, the dugongs occur in quite small pockets. So using drones that are off the shelf that people in developing countries can afford and have access to, and we're developing methods to use those so that it's really simple and user-friendly.
So how will it work then? You'll deploy some drones to a geography. They'll do the aerial survey, take photos, and what can you extract from the photos? Ah, there's a dugong.
Yeah, so that's the tricky bit. Originally, we were having to just review the images ourselves, which takes a long time. So what we've done is developed a dugong detector, which uses artificial intelligence or machine learning to pick the dugongs out of the images automatically. And so that has reduced the time it takes to review the images by 95%.
How do you know you're not spotting the same one multiple times? If there's the sort of Where's Wally of the dugong world, where it keeps popping up all over the place, how do you know you're not just double counting?
Well, that's all part of the survey design. So we have to make sure when we design the survey that we're designing in a way that we're unlikely to come back and see the same animal again. And we're actually usually sampling an area rather than covering the entire area. So we maybe survey 10% of the area we're interested in, and then we extract from that an estimate of how many dugongs there are.
And have you got a sort of back end for all of this, so all the data coalesces so that then you can bring together all of the different sampling sites around the world, so you get a more global picture?
Well, that's exactly our mission at the moment. So our vision is to create a dugong detector online hub, which would support people doing these surveys all over the world. So they would have access to a tool that would help them design their survey and choose the appropriate drone. And then they would download the dugong detector, which would process all the images for them. And we're going to expand the dugong detector so that it also classifies the images according to the environment that you can see in the images, including the seagrass that you can see. They will then upload all of the data from the dugong detector to an interactive map on the hub, and they'll be able to create their maps, but also to a global database.
So it's got benefit for keeping eyes and tabs on dugong numbers and how they're getting on in the environment, but then it's a proxy marker for probably the environmental health in those regions, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're able to do some surveys regularly and you know the dugongs have always been in this area but suddenly they've disappeared, then that's a warning, basically, if you need to go and check what's happening with the seagrass.
And does that mean then that you can then spot areas that are either very good, and so you can then ask, why are those areas so good? And equally, you can spot areas which clearly show a downward trend, and you can ask, well, what's different? And why are they showing a downward trend? So you can begin to tailor your interventions a bit more.
That's exactly right. Ultimately, it gives local authorities in the areas the ability to know what are the areas we really need to protect and what are the areas we really need to focus on to mitigate any impacts on the dugongs and the seagrass.
Amanda Hodgson from Murdoch University and winner of a Google Impact Challenge Award from earlier this month.
And actually, Amanda's written us an article which tells you a bit more about the work, and there's some lovely pictures there as well. You can find that at nakedscientist.com/articles if you want to check it out.